heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley here, and so glad you're joining us for this big weekend. Big weekend, you say? Well, yes. Outside, even of being the unofficial start to the summer season, there are at least three significant events going on this weekend for practicing Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. First off, of course, it's Memorial Day weekend. And a heartfelt thanks from the whole team here at Practicing Catholic to all veterans and active duty military for your service to our country. And, you know, I really do pray that all Americans and those of other lands who live in our borders take time this weekend to honor you and continue to uphold you in prayer. Thank you so much for your service to our country. Second, it's Pentecost weekend. The Easter season is drawing to a close, some are saying finally, with this glorious celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those disciples who, if you recall, were uncertain at best, locked away in the upper room, if not overly timid. But when the Holy Spirit fell, they were transformed, transfigured even, as the risen Christ took up his mission again through the beginnings of his church. And what's more, don't forget, you and I are participants in Pentecost. We are empowered and strengthened by that same Holy Spirit that was poured out upon the disciples by virtue of our reception of baptism and confirmation. And just like those original disciples, we are thereby empowered to carry on Christ's mission in the world. All we need to do is to give our permission, our fiat, for the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives, bringing about nothing less than the salvation of the world through us. It's amazing. And speaking of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, third, four men are receiving the Holy Spirit in a special way for their particular role in serving our local church as priests. It's our Archdiocesan Ordination Weekend. This is truly cause for rejoicing, thanksgiving, and celebration. And whether you're planning on attending or did attend the ordination, which, if you haven't heard or didn't know, is this Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, remember to arrive early. Please take time to offer thanks to Almighty God for his call on these young men's lives and their faithful response, their fiat that they have given. And please don't forget to pray for them. They, as well as all of our priests, are in constant need of our prayers. We'll talk more about and with these men in just a minute. So, all in all, a big weekend. Lots to celebrate, lots of people to honor, and lots of thanks to give to our God. I'm excited to be sharing in it with you. Wonderful things coming up on the show today. As I just indicated, it's not only Ordination Weekend, but it's our annual ordination show here on Practicing Catholic. This is a glorious weekend in this local church, as Archbishop Hebda ordains four men for the priesthood. Coming up on the show, we'll get to know Deacons Will Kratt, Kyle Etzel, John Rumsa, and Ryan Glazer. We'll also check in with Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. He'll talk about the men who are being ordained Saturday at the cathedral and the state of vocations here in our 12-county area. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, certainly the intercession of Mary, Mother of the Clergy, and Mary, Mother of the Church have been requested in the days leading up to this Saturday's priestly ordinations at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Let's all commit to asking our Blessed Mother for her help as our new priests begin their priestly ministries. Joining us now, Deacons Will Kratt and Kyle Etzel, to talk about their journey to this weekend and how we can specifically pray for them. Deacon Kratt, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
And Deacon Etzel, welcome to you as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Deacon Etzel, we'll start with you. I've got my regular list of ordination, pre-ordination questions to run down. But just so you know, we'll go back and forth, and you're both going to get all these same questions. So you can be thinking about your answer, Deacon Kratt, as I'm speaking with Deacon Etzel here first. All right, so tell me, Deacon Etzel, who's someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation?
Yeah, that's obviously my family, but... For me, my home parish pastor, Father Rolf Tollefson, at St. Hubert, when I was in college, simply just asked me the question, and that was really like the day I kind of got walloped by the Holy Spirit 2x4, and kind of knew right then and there that the Lord wanted me to discern this call to the priesthood. So. But it started with Father Tollefson just asking the question, and then he walked with me really closely for a long time and still is. So I'm very grateful for him.
Very good. Well, I love the stories of priests influencing the vocations of other young men and helping them to realize a call to the priesthood as well. So we're already giving thanksgiving for Father Tollefson's role in your life. So grateful for that. Deacon Kratt, what about you? Someone in your life who's had a significant impact on your vocation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to copy and paste Deacon Kyle, but I would also say family definitely played an important role as just a witness to the faith. But I would also say my home parish pastor for most of my life growing up through high school was Father Kevin Finnegan. And just his consistent witness of anyone knows Father Kevin, you know, there's no duplicity in the man. He's just a very authentic witness of joy, of just integrity, of just kind of a consistent kind of zeal for whatever the Lord wants him to do. And I just remember him, you know, it's always encouraging, you know, whatever God's calling you to in your life, and that's the only thing that's going to be worth doing. And especially even just kind of the early years of seminary, I remember him saying, you know, 10 years of seminary is worth one day as a priest. And I knew that, you know, it maybe sounded a little bit cliche, but I mean, knowing coming from him, I knew that it was 100% honest and that he was, you know, speaking from his own experience and the truth of the priesthood for him. So, yeah, I'd say just that authentic witness of joy from Father Kevin was very big.
You know, I'm just touched by the models that these men are in your lives, especially as you'll be in their shoes very soon and you'll be able to continue to serve as good examples to other boys and young men of what good priests look like, what they the type of ministry that they give. And so it's just wonderful to see the priesthood and the call to the priesthood being passed on from generation to generation, as it were. All right, Deacon Kratt, you're up first this time. Okay. When did you first start to sense the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood?
Yeah, I'd say I really, really didn't even start thinking of it or even really wasn't even open to it until, I'd say later sophomore year of high school. So really towards the very end, I remember in particular, we were on a mission trip. I think it was down in Missouri, and just, you know, kind of heard throughout being in youth ministry and early high school, just kind of like consistent, you know, if you're a Catholic young man, you should think about the priesthood. Every Catholic young man should think about the priesthood. I'm like, that sounds nice for other people, but you know, I was like, right. No, it's not, definitely not going to be me. And I think there's just a point where I thought, okay, wait a second. Like, I've seen many like good priests who are just really on fire, who are definitely fulfilled, who are joyful, who, you know, have given their lives to this. And I'm like, okay, like maybe that could be me. And I think, yeah, just open myself up to that question. I remember as soon as I opened myself up to that question in prayer, you know, just kind of stuck. And yeah, never really went away. So just kind of went deeper and deeper.
I love the unfolding of a vocational, vocation to the priesthood, a call from the Lord like that. And he is patient with us. But Deacon Kratt, you have, you've once again given testimony to my ongoing phrase that I stick to, never say never where God can hear you. when you're in that
true.
Kind of a situation. Yeah, very good. Yeah. All right, Deacon Ethel, you're up. What? When did you first start to sense the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood? You mentioned kind of being walloped upside the head by the Holy Spirit, yeah?
Yeah. So it was, I don't want to just repeat my previous answer, but so that day was November 27th, 2013, and I was a junior at Iowa State at the time. And I suppose that would have been the start of my senior year, maybe. Well, anyway.
What happened?
I'd kind of, you know, I was raised in a Catholic family, went to Mass and, you know, did all the sacraments, but I'd never really taken my faith seriously. In college, I tried out kind of the evangelicals, see what they had to know, and was coming back to the church and realized I needed some real friends and real, you know, like authentic faith. And I ended up at the Newman Center in a small group, just sort of by grace. And that kind of started the whole thing. But I really wasn't thinking about priesthood. I was just getting me back in love with the church. And it was a very blessed time. But then, like I said, I was home. And I had, in the spring of that year at Easter, been home and had a profound experience in the sacrament of penance, and had started this kind of formation, spiritual direction relationship with Father Tollefson. And he really just took me under his wing. And then, it was November. I was home for Thanksgiving and we were getting coffee and he just, and I had a girlfriend. We were talking about getting married, like, you know, I wasn't engaged or anything, but, you know, working up to it. And he was just like, you know, Kyle, you know, have you ever thought about being a priest? And I gave the same sort of like milk toast kind of answer. It was like, oh, Father, that's so nice of you to think I'd be a good priest, but I got all this other stuff going on. I dropped him off, and like 30 seconds later, I was in a parking spot, Hubert parking lot, and I just had to pull over and stop. I mean, it was that profound of an experience of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until later that I realized, like, the parking spot I pulled into was adjacent to the building where the tabernacle is, and and then the Lord like fills in all the points in your life where, when you start to pray about it, where you realize like he's been working on me for a long time, you know. And so just that beautiful like cooperation of a good pastor and a faith community with the whole within my family, you know, all the stuff. But it was really that one that, and then ever since 2015, it's really kind of been like Will said. I mean, you listen to see like, is this still what the Lord wants me to do? And if all you get is crickets, you're like, okay, well, we're just gonna keep going, and then. You know, all the good formation here at the seminary and stuff, and you find yourself 4 days away from being a priest.
Yeah. amazing. Oh, man. I love the story so far. All right, so this next question, Deacon Ethel, you're up first this time. So this next question proves to be, for some anyway, a tricky one. So this is the question. What person, living or passed away, would be most surprised that you're being ordained a priest?
Oh. I drew the short straw going first on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good question. I think there's probably some of my, like, you know, friends from high school or college would probably be, I mean, I think most of them probably know, but they were definitely surprised when I told them.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like in, you know, crazy, you know, degenerate or anything, but I, you know, just, it was not the track that I was on. And then I kind of had this massive conversion, and it was relatively over a short span of time. So there were definitely people that were pretty surprised.
Yeah.
That I was at least even thinking about being a priest. So
yeah, yeah, amazing. Well, that's an acceptable answer. I like that. I mean, yeah, it can be right when you first told them. It doesn't need to be right now, but yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, Deacon Kratt, over to you. What person, living or passed away, would be most surprised about your impending ordination here?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, most surprised. I mean, I know. I'm just thinking of my childhood self. I mean, yeah, honestly, yeah, growing up, I definitely just would not have ever thought that I would be a priest. I mean, in, yeah, just like nothing in my life seemingly pointed to that. And it just, yeah. I definitely, yeah, definitely, if you would have told young me, like, yeah, you'll be a priest someday, that's funny. So
that's a good answer, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Young me would be that. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
that was
ahead.
A really good answer.
Yeah. Do you want to take yours back, Deacon Etzel? Is that it? Do you want to change your answer?
Well, I was going to say, other than ourselves or our friends, you know, I think maybe some of our formators at the seminary over the years would be surprised that we
Wow, he made it through? Are we doing things right here?
They're doing a great job.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I love it. Okay, Deacon Kratt, if I'm not mistaken, I think you're up first for this next one. So who other than yourself do you think is among the happiest for you?
Yeah, I think I would definitely say my mom being one, and just my immediate family in general, my brother and sister-in-law, my dad. I think they're just ones who have kind of seen me through from the very beginning of kind of the initial asking of just like, hey, you know, I just want to bring up maybe thinking about seminary, you know, all the way up until the present day. So, you know, they've really stuck through, and they've always, from day one, it wasn't been supportive, but I think they've definitely just experienced a lot of growth themselves, and just as I've come to understand more, just kind of the priesthood and seminary and just the church, I think they've also kind of been on that journey with me and come to a much greater appreciation of the faith and the priesthood as well. So it's just been a really, yeah, really, really big support for me.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. How about you, Deacon Etzel?
Yeah, of course, same as, you know, my family are, I think my parents especially are super excited. Father Tollefson's been, he's been with me through the whole thing, and he's actually going to be my, I think I can say this on the radio, he's going to be my spiritual director following ordination, so I'm super blessed by him. But also, there's just one that especially comes to mind. My dad's sister, Polly, who passed away almost a little over a year ago, she was the first one. I remember it was that same Thanksgiving break, and we went out to, I think we were out to like a fish fry or something at the American Legion with my extended family. And I told her just kind of under my breath, I was sitting next to her at the table, and she just broke down and was giving me hugs and was just very, very proud of me and excited. So she's gone to the Lord now, but I think she's, well, I hope she's praying for me. especially I'm sure. on Saturday. But
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. All right. So you each have roughly a minute to answer this next one as we're getting a little short on time. But Deacon Etzel, you're up first. Just if you can put it into words, what's it feel like being on the brink of ordination?
It's pretty surreal. I mean, it's been a long road. I just finished 13 years of university, and six of those were in seminary. And so it's been a lot of preparation. And I've been prepared so well by the Lord and the seminary and my friends and family, and just extremely grateful for all of them and for the upcoming lifetime of servicing the people of God and mediating for them with the Lord.
I can imagine surreal is a word that's oftentimes bandied about, and how it feels just before you get ordained. How about you, Deacon Kratt? What's it feel like?
Yeah, I think the best way I could describe it would be just being like right at the peak of a huge roller coaster, just before the drop.
Yes, that's right.
You know, there's a lot of excitement and anticipation. There's also kind of that gut feeling of like, whoa, this is going to be like, you know, bigger than anything I've done before, and kind of a little bit crazy, but, you know, I know it's going to be good. And I'd say definitely gratitude mixed in there as well. But yeah, I think that's kind of the best way I could describe it was, a lot of excitement, anticipation, but also kind of that, you know, kind of awe and wonder at like, wow, you know, priesthood, that's pretty, pretty amazing thing. And also a very big task as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love the description of it as a roller coaster. I mean, certainly the adventure of following Christ, you know, it will have its ups and downs, its twists and turns, but it will be that adventure all the way through, and especially as a priest in his church. So Deacon Kratt, Deacon Etzel, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a bit of your story with us. Looking forward to Saturday. Our prayers will be with you. God bless you guys. May these last few days be a wonderful preparation time for you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah. It's It's our annual ordination show here for the Archdiocese. We got four men who are being ordained to the priesthood on Saturday, and we've just spoken with Deacons Will Kratt and Kyle Etzel. When Practicing Catholic returns, Deacons John Rumsa and Ryan Glazer are in the hot seat as we get to know the men who will be ordained priests for our Archdiocese this weekend. We'll be right back. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and seek to do God's will in our life.
And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. Even if we make a wrong decision, he will help us to get back on track. It's so important to act. And I think we, especially in our own times, have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it.
Yeah, hang on. Let me overthink this.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to our annual ordination show on Practicing Catholic, where we're meeting the men about to be ordained to the priesthood for our archdiocese. Just before the break, we got to know Deacons Will Kratt and Kyle Etzel. Now let's spend some time with Deacons John Rumsa and Ryan Glazer. Welcome, Deacon Rumsa, to you.
Welcome. Good to be here.
Yeah, and Deacon Glazer, welcome to you also.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Yeah, very good. All right, so here's how it's laid out, gentlemen, is that I ask you both the same questions, so whoever goes first, whoever's going second, you get to think about your answers. So that's a little bit of a bone here, and that I'm throwing to you. But we'll go back and forth, so you each gets a fair amount of time here. All right, so Deacon Rumsa, let's start with you. Who's someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation?
Well, there are many. The first one that comes to mind is my dear father. When I was in fourth grade, he took me aside one day and he said, John, I think it's time to start asking God what he wants you to do with your life. And he kind of planted that seed. He explained how, you know, when God has a call for us, it's something that we step into, something that we experience little by little as we go forward. So as a fourth grader, I was starting to listen for his voice, where before I wasn't. So it was just kind of a small twist of, I still wanted to get married, actually, as a fourth grader, which maybe I can talk about in another question, but I was now open to the priesthood. So from that moment on, I mean, just my dad's example as a very good and holy man, a spiritual father for me and my siblings, and then just, yeah, creating that openness to the vocation.
What a great example of a father. In fourth grade, just saying, I think it's about time that we start figuring out what God wants to do with your life. Yeah, that's, what a question. That's fantastic. Yeah. Good answer, Deacon. And now, Deacon Glazer, it's your turn. Who's someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation?
Yeah, definitely my uncle, Father Ken Glazer. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Dubuque down in Iowa. But his example of having a priest already in the family growing up, he just really showed me from a young age, you know, a priest isn't like some sort of extraterrestrial, you know, far off distant person. You know, he's a man that has a very special blessing and path in life that gets to, you know, minister to God's people. So he was actually the first phone call I made when I began feeling the Lord tugging at my heart to enter seminary. He was very generous with his time and helping calm me down a bit, help me discern. So he's just been a great blessing and resource for me. And yeah, he'd be one of the two priests vesting me on Saturday.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. What an honor. And what a great kind of it's a nice little bookend there. I mean, I don't want to say that that's the end of it, but it's a moving into a different phase, to be sure. So wonderful. Good answer. And Deacon Glazer, we're going to start with you with this next one. And it's somewhat related to the first one. When did you first start to sense the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood?
I'd say long after everyone else started to. But it was really... No, honestly, it was really when I went to college. I started after high school. I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison studying computer science. And I was one of those, perhaps a little arrogant, thinking that, oh, I'm going to be one of the guys that never changes majors, never, you know, second guesses anything. Here's my path. But it was really my sophomore year at college there that the Lord just kind of broke through my heart and just really started pulling me in the direction towards entering seminary and discerning priesthood. So that's really when I started seriously considering it. But in hindsight, there's a lot of people in my life, relatives, you know, my grandmother especially, teachers at school growing up that would always kind of hint in different ways, oh, you should consider being a priest. But yeah, so they saw it much clearer than I did, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that can be helpful. But it's always got to be your decision at the end of the day, right? Your discernment and then saying, yes, yeah, I will walk this path as long as the Lord will keep me on it. So wonderful. All right. I like that. Deacon Rumsa, over to you. When did you first start to sense that the Lord might be calling you to the priesthood? Was it in that fourth grade conversation with your father?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
So it's my last because I was planning to get married and join the MBA from the time I was in preschool.
Nice.
So that was kind of my trajectory. And so in fourth grade, there was no change. That next day, I woke up and I was still going to get married and join the NBA, maybe the NFL. But I was open. So yeah, I think as I'm looking back, I went on a discernment night in high school. And from that, I was almost convinced I'm not called. I was like, great, like that doesn't feel like it's for me. I hate that. They had pizza at this discernment night, and that was the only good thing about it. So that wasn't it. And then in college, I went on the discernment retreat with the bishop here in the Archdiocese. And from that conversation, I laid out my heart to the bishop and just, you know, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm thinking. And there was a girl at the time I was kind of in love with, and I shared all of that. And it was Bishop Cousins, I think. And if I remember, he said something like, well, John, I'm not hearing that you have a call, but I'm not hearing that you don't either. So his encouragement was just to keep discerning. I was like, okay. So Ryan, I might have you beat because that was sophomore year of college for me, and I still didn't have a sense of a call. For me, it was really after college. So I entered corporate America, and I was working, and 5 years in, there was a big corporate layoff. They kind of gutted my whole division, and it was in that process, which is a whole other story in and of itself, that I heard a very dramatic call to the priesthood. And 2 months after that call, I was in the seminary.
Wow.
So I guess looking back from fourth grade, there was openness the entire time, but the sense of the call was not until 2 months before.
Okay, so I have to ask, can you give us just like the 60-second version of that dramatic call?
Yes. Yeah, happy to. 60-second version. So I'm in adoration. I had kind of come to love Jesus in adoration and spent a lot of time there over the last few years. And something had happened, a conversation previously that had opened my heart to this possibility, like maybe he is calling me after all. Mm. And I spent an hour with him, and at the end of that hour, I just asked him. And I was kind of felt like a five-year-old. I was just sitting in front of God with my heart wide open with awe, like, are you actually calling me? Are you calling me to be a priest? And he almost interrupted my question, and he spoke into the center of my being. I don't know how to describe this very well, but he said, come be a priest for me.
Wow.
And I experienced that. I heard it, and I felt it, and my whole being knew, oh my gosh, after 27 years of life, suddenly I know that I'm called to be a priest.
Wow.
And so that gave me that, the power of that word gave me the clarity to go to the vocations director and say, I think I'm supposed to do this in July, and gave me the strength to get through all the obstacles and be in seminary in that September. So
that's amazing.
Praise God, the church said yes, and I said yes to that radical call.
Yeah. And I love, I'll just go back to Bishop Cousins' remark. How wise is that, right? I'm not hearing you have a call, but I'm not hearing you don't have one either. That's so good. So good.
Yep.
Leaving the door open. I love it. I love it. All right, Deacon Rumsey. So you're up first for this next one. And this is, as I warned the previous deacons, that this is probably one of the trickiest ones. So can you think of a person living or passed away who would be most surprised that you're getting ordained a priest?
Well, the easy answer is no, I can't think of a person, but I think probably high school and college friends, I'm sure several of them. Some of them kind of saw that there was something different, that there was something going on with me a little different than everybody else in that sense of, even though I didn't see it. And but I think a lot of people kind of said, well, I kind of saw that coming, John, even though I didn't. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we'll accept that. That's all right. I like it. Okay. And Deacon Glazer, over to you. What person, living or passed away, would be most surprised that you're getting ordained a priest?
Yeah, I had to go back a few years on this one, but I remember my high school friends, you know, I was, stayed in touch with them a bit after I went to college. And of the four or five of them, you know, four of them are atheists or agnostic. You know, I was the only really Christian in the group. So I remember going over one night, we were hanging out, and kind of had to plan and tell them, you know, hey, I'm going to be entering the seminary here. And just kind of going over all the different scenarios in my mind, like, what are they going to think about this? You know, they're going to think I'm, you know, gone off my rocker, completely gone insane. But, you know, they received it very well. They were concerned. They're like, oh, we thought you were going to say you were dying or something. But nope. So, but they were certainly surprised, you know, because it's just, you know, to someone who's not necessarily a believer, it's a very strange thing to explain, you know, this concept of like, yeah, you know, it's like, I've been called by God for a particular mission, a particular purpose to serve his people in his church. And that's what, you know, to promise celibacy for life, obedience to a bishop, you know, constant prayer. It's a lot to take in, you know, for faithful Catholics, you know, it's a little easier to, you know, understand and appreciate, but, you know, it kind of gave me an appreciation for those who, you know, aren't necessarily in the church that like, oh, this is kind of what we look like to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good. I like that. And it does. I mean, I suppose you could have responded, well, in a sense, I am dying to self in this new way. So that's a,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the picture there, and I love, we could go on and on in that one, but I'll move on for the sake of expediency here. So Deacon Glazer, you're up first for this one. Who other than yourself do you think is among the happiest for you?
Well, certainly my mother and my father. They've been very supportive of me through my time in seminary. I can say I've never actually told them I'm going to seminary. The Holy Spirit just kind of told them for me when I was, you know, dreading telling them that I wanted to switch schools and whatnot. But then I'm like, hey, can I have a job interview up in St. Paul? It was really to meet the vocations director. And my mom texts me back. She's like, are you meeting a priest? And sure enough, that's how it went down. So I guess mom and dad, if you're listening to this, I think I'm called to be a priest. But yeah, so they're definitely very supportive and happy. And then especially my grandmother is very, she tells me she's been praying for this since my first communion. So yeah, she's going to make it on Saturday for the ordination. So she's very, very excited.
Yeah, yeah, you got to watch out what those grandmothers pray for. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Thank you, Grandma, for all of your prayers. All right, Deacon Rumsa, how about you? Other than yourself, who do you think is among the happiest for you?
Well, the cheap, free, easy answer is God the Father. I've just been praying with that a lot, his joy that he's called me and he's overjoyed that I'm saying yes. But I know that's what the question isn't really asking. So I think
I like the answer. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. So I think when I told my mom, like, hey, I think I'm supposed to be a priest, my mom, the first words out of her mouth, she just smiled and she said, John, I always knew.
Wow.
So I thought that was beautiful. She didn't say anything. I mean, she kind of let me, and she told me this afterwards. She had to let me, live my life and discern and find my path, which I'm so grateful for. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my mom and my dad, their joy has been very deep, I think.
Okay. Well, very good. Wonderful. All right, Deacon Glazer, just a few minutes remaining here, but if you can put it into words, what's it feel like being on the brink of ordination?
That's a great question. I think everyone goes into ordination very, differently, particularly like for our diaconate ordination. I know all my classmates, we were all experiencing different things. But for me right now, it's a great peace and a great joy. Through all the troubled discernment and whatnot, you go back and forth a couple times in seminary. At this point, it's like, all right, I have this peace and confidence that this is God's plan for my life, that he's going to equip me with the graces I need to do what he wants me to do. In the parishes and wherever that is. And he's going to be with me in all of that. So it's a great confidence in that, even if I don't know what it's going to look like. No one knows what their priesthood is going to look like, but it's just trusting that the Lord is guiding all of that. So it's kind of an excitement in the unknown. I know I'll stay close to the Lord and try to do his work. How that looks, who knows?
Wow. Okay. Deacon Rumsa, how about you? What's it feel like? Can you put it into words?
Yeah, that was a really good answer, Ryan. Like, I don't want to just parrot that whole thing. I think, there's a lot of a very deep peace about it, a sense that, this is what God's asking. The fear of the unknown, but also kind of the excitement of the unknown. And the other piece of it, I think, is just reflecting on kind of the two sides of this. Like, on the spiritual level, like, what's going to happen is earth-shattering. I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to say some words and do some actions, and spiritual realities are going to happen. Like, that's mind blowing. But then at the same time, like, complete ordinary simplicity of, I'm also just a human. I'm just a man, and I'm just going to say these human words and do these human actions, just like if anyone else did them, except when I do them, something's going to. So it's like just kind of that reality of, like, this is huge. And also, this is just going to walk up to the altar and place my hands in the bishops and, say the words and receive the prayers, and then. I'm just kind of sitting with that. It's such a great mystery. But yeah, underneath it all, there's definitely a very deep peace that this is exactly what I'm made for.
Deacon Rumsey, I think you just kind of uncovered or shed a little new light on the whole sacramental understanding that we have of the way that God works in and through us and in and through ordinary actions and ordinary materials of this world. So it's wonderful to hear. And, our prayers will continue to be with you all the way up through and beyond Saturday, of course, but really looking forward to Saturday. I suppose not maybe as much as you are, but looking forward to it and grateful to our Lord for your yes. So thank you both for being on the program, and God bless you in these final few days.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Yeah, very good. It is our annual Archdiocesan Ordination Program. We've just spoken with the four deacons, the four young men who will be ordained to the priesthood, God willing, this Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. If you missed any part of the program, you can find more back on our website at practicingcatholicshow.com. When we return on Practicing Catholic, Father David Bloom, our Archdiocesan Director of Vocations, will be with us to talk more about ordinations this year and in years to come. Stay with us.
There were so many people with so many different issues. Every one of us has something that blocks us from growing in this relationship with Jesus.
Relevant Radio contributor Marcel Lejeune.
I've been thinking about this for myself, and I would challenge all our listeners to also think about it. What is it right now that is in between you and Jesus? Is it past hurt or history? Is it something, a grudge that you're holding on to? Is it a particular sin? Is it a wound? Is it that you're scared? Is it that you're more worried about the things of the world than the things of heaven? What is it? Name it, and then offer that thing back to Jesus so that he can do the work. Because unfortunately, we tried so hard in this relationship with Jesus to do all this work, when really it's about abandoning ourselves to what God wants to do in us. And that's where things really change. And He's the one who wants it more than we do.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Tom Halden, who's sitting in for our producer role, and Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. It is our annual ordination show here on Practicing Catholic, and we've just heard from four deacons who are being ordained to the priesthood this Saturday. If you missed any part of that again, you can check it out at practicingcatholicshow.com. But joining us now is the Director of Vocations for our Archdiocese, Father David Bloom, to reflect on how God has been and continues to be good to us by raising up men for the priesthood. Father Bloom, welcome. Glad to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, let's go back. This is not this priestly ordination that's coming up on Saturday is not the first ordination that's taken place in the Archdiocese this spring. We recently had the ordination to the transitional diaconate that happened back on May 13th. Tell us about that.
Yes. You know, it was a very, very beautiful liturgy, incredibly inspiring time. You know, these are some of the first men that I worked with back in 2015. Some of them entered in 2016. Some entered a couple of years later, but it's really a beautiful thing to see men you've been working with and you've been praying for to see them be ordained. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's a little unusual about this year is that there were 11 who were ordained, and that is not common. We also have two men in formation at the North American College in Rome, and they will be ordained in September. So that makes a class of 13 who potentially will be ordained to the priesthood next year.
And that's all for our archdiocese, Father?
That's right.
Wow.
And as you might expect, I mean, class sizes are kind of all over the map. It's usually 5 or 6 getting ordained. This year we'll have 4 who are ordained to the priesthood. But having 13 ordained next year kind of brings the average up a little bit. In fact, quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
That is exciting. And I'm just going to make a note now for Tom and Paul as we're planning next year's ordination show. Either we're going to have to take out more time on Relevant Radio or we're going to have to do it over like 3 different shows in order to get an interview in with all 13 men. Holy cow, that's amazing. Thanks be to God. Wonderful.
It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. He is so faithful to us. Thanks, God. Well, as we've been chatting with the Theology 4 seminarians, the deacons on this show already, we've heard some inspirational vocation stories and some just the ways in which God has moved in their lives to introduce them to the concept of maybe even considering becoming a priest in His church. So what do you specifically, Father, when you're looking at Ordination Day, is there anything in particular that you like most about Ordination Day each year?
Oh, wow. You know, I think it is kind of this culmination of so many years of preparation. These men have worked hard. They have worked with their priest formators. They've worked with their spiritual directors. They've certainly done a lot of work academically. They've been out in their teaching parish, and they've been able to understand a little more how the parish really works. And all of this comes together here at ordination when now they're kind of being launched out of a cannon, if you would. And I remember years ago someone saying that, you know, being ordained, it's kind of like stepping onto a fast-moving train. And and that's really true. There's a lot happening in our parishes, and so it's a beautiful time to be ordained and to enter into full-time priestly ministry.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful thing. And I can imagine, having known these men for a while now, that you can see some of the development that has occurred within their call and encouraged them along the way and walked with them. That must be a tremendous privilege as well.
It truly is. And, you know, I've seen that kind of transformation in some of the men who have really, they've grown so much, and there were areas where they needed to work on, and they worked on those areas. The Lord poured out His Spirit, and they grew, and with a lot of support from others in the seminary system, from the prayers of the laity, a lot of good things coming together.
Well, let's, as much as we're giving thanks for this upcoming presbyteral ordination on Saturday, let's look down the road a little bit further, because we know that our God is always at work in our midst, and He's always raising up men for the priesthood and men and women for the religious life, the consecrated single life, all these sorts of things, these unique ways of serving the church. But there in the Office of Vocations, what do you have coming up this summer?
Sure. You know, this summer we have a couple of things that I would like to highlight, and one of them is a program called Totus Tuus. And Totus Tuus is a catechetical program for both grade school and high school. And we have teams of young adults. There are two men and two women on each team, and we have six teams. And they receive training for 8 days, and then they go out to the parishes. And each team goes to six different parishes, and so we'll be at 24 parishes this year. And so it's really 36 parishes. My math was bad there, but 36 parishes. So each team is out there at six parishes, and the men come from our seminaries. They're easy to find. The women are more challenging to find, especially this past year. And so I just want to put a shout out that if there's a young adult woman interested in serving on Totus Tuus next year, please pray about it and contact us. Let us know, because we really need women on the teams. Then I would like to also mention that there's a beautiful opportunity in August. On August 15th, we have, I'm calling it a Seminary Information Night, and it is for junior and senior high school men and their parents who would like to learn more about St. John Vianney College Seminary. And so we're going to begin with Mass of the Assumption at 5 p.m., and then after Mass, we'll have dinner, a presentation, and then we'll do a tour of the seminary. So I think it's going to be a really wonderful event, and it's just an opportunity for men and their parents to get to know more about St. John Vianney Seminary and what it means to go to seminary. And I really want parents to come because they have great questions. And so I think it would be a very good evening.
I really appreciate the fact that you're incorporating the parents into that evening as well on August 15th to check out St. John Vianney College Seminary there. Because as you said, parents have these questions, and let's be honest. I mean, juniors and seniors in high school, these young men are they're getting there, right? But not always. I know I'm just projecting, I guess, from when I was a junior or senior. I wasn't always really asking the questions that really I should have been asking. So it's great that you're involving the parents too. Have you done this before, Father?
We did years ago, and the last time we did it was before COVID. And since then, we have not. But also, last year, the St. John Vianney Seminary was under construction, and they were building a new chapel, and so that wasn't really going to work very well. This year, the chapel is done, and it is incredibly beautiful. So it'll be an opportunity for people to see that beautiful new chapel as well.
We're speaking with Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations for our Archdiocese, about some of the things coming up this summer to help young men and young women explore a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. And specifically, Father, you mentioned the Totus Tuus, and you also mentioned this checking out St. John Vianney College Seminary on Tuesday, August 15th, with the Mass of the Assumption, followed by a dinner and a presentation and a tour. If people are interested in either of those things, what's the best way of going about getting in touch with you?
Sure. You know, the best way would be to go to our website, and that is 10,000vocations.org, 10,000vocations.org. And right on the website, immediately, you'll see some information about these events. And so, and then if you go to the events tab, you'll be able to find more information and how to contact us.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I pray that they are both very fruitful in that. Can you let slip anything about enrollment for either of the seminaries for this coming year? I suppose specifically the St. John Vianney College Seminary is one of the things we like to keep an eye on. But how about the 2023-2024 school year? Any reasons for prayer, reasons for hope there?
You know, there is. And, you know this, we all know this, that we live in a world that really needs hope. And so I think there's really wonderful things happening in the church, and sometimes we don't always hear about them. And so it's great to bring them to light. So St. John Vianney College Seminary, it looks like we're going to have 6 men enter there this fall. And that's a real nice number. I want to give a shout out to Chesterton Academy. They do such a wonderful job promoting vocations. We also have a gentleman from St. Agnes. And so our Catholic schools really ought to be a place where vocations are being promoted and formed and encouraged. And it's great when I see that. We also have a strong number for our propedeutic year. You know, that's that new year that was added. It's a preparatory year at the St. Paul Seminary. We have, of course, these are men who have a college degree and maybe an advanced degree. So we have a lawyer who's coming in. We have 2 guys who are focused missionaries. We have someone who's a computer programmer. We have someone with an aviation background. A financial analyst, and a gentleman who does technical support for his company. So just a lot of really, highly skilled men who are coming in this fall. So that's a very exciting development. And then what I am really excited about is something that I don't think I've seen before, and that is that we already have 7 men who are showing strong interest in the seminaries for 2024.
Wow.
Now, time will tell how all that shakes out, but this is kind of a newer thing to have 7 guys showing strong interest in May of 2023 to enter in 2024 in the fall. I think it's the fruit of prayer. I really do.
Well, you anticipated my final question to you, Father, before we ask for your blessing, which just briefly, can you give us an idea again of how to encourage vocations in and around the places where we move, in our parishes, in our families, in our circle of friends?
Sure. You know, I think there are men who you kind of see it in them. You see that they love the things of God. And it's perfectly fine to ask a young man, have you ever thought about being a priest? And then you can say, I think that would be a really good thing for you to pray about, and I'll be praying for you. The thing we don't want to do is to talk to him about it 25 times. we want to just put it out there. And he won't forget that you talked to him. He will not forget that someone came up to him and asked if he's ever thought about being a priest, and I think you would be a good priest.
Yeah.
So that's a very simple thing, and it's more effective than you might think.
Okay, wonderful. Well, the 4 men to be ordained to the priesthood would give good testimony to that as well, as we just spoke with them. All right, Father, well, we've reached the end of our time, but if you would, could we have your blessing, please?
Certainly. May the Lord bless you and protect you, lead you and guide you, and continue to build up the church. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father David Bloom, our Archdiocesan Director of Vocations, thank you for joining us on Practicing Catholic again. Father, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
If you or someone you know is wanting to explore a potential call to the priesthood or the religious life, check out our Archdiocesan Office of Vocations website, 10,000vocations.org. Don't go away. We'll be back with some local Catholic events sure to heat up your spiritual life this summer. We'll be right back.
Everything is going along well, and then all of a sudden when a cross comes into your life, it's like, uh-oh, it upsets everything. Father Richard Leonard, our guest.
A very tragic family event in my own life. where my sister was in a car accident, it was a really tragic outcome for our family, and it forced me to ask the question, well, how do you find God in the valley of tears and the shadow of death? And how do we hold on to faith, hope, and love when everything goes wrong? And that's one of the big blocks to being on mission with Christ, that when things get really tough, then people can walk away and say, well, my faith didn't help me there. And I think God weeps with us in terrible moments. Like, God doesn't send evil things. We don't believe that God deals in evil. So when tragedy happens, when evil things happen to people, we have to have a very deep Catholic spirituality that says God is accompanying us, God is meeting us, God is intersecting with us right at the moment we most need him.
Life Solutions.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Wow, what a great show for a great weekend. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's Memorial Day weekend this weekend, so thank you to all of you who have served or are serving our country in the military. Also, it's Pentecost weekend. We're celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all, the whole of the church. And then we've just spent the time speaking with the four men who are being ordained to the priesthood. Man. Oh, what a great show. What a great weekend.
We do good stuff, don't
we? Yeah, don't we? I mean, thank you, Paul. Thank you for all your work on it. And if you missed any part of the show, remember, practicingcatholicshow.com is where to go, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for Practicing Catholic Show. And also follow us and like us on social media.
Like us. Please like us.
We'd like that. Well, I would like, Paul, for you to tell us what we got coming up.
Well, Archdiocesan Marriage Day is coming up June 10th. Celebrate the beautiful mystery of the mutual self-gift between a man and woman in the sacrament of matrimony. This celebration includes Mass, renewal of vows, and a short reception. Families and friends of all couples are welcome. That's coming up on June 10th.
All right. Well, we've got some, if you are married and you need a little help, because marriages need help from time to time, but especially if you're struggling, thinking about separation or divorce, or know the couple that is, why don't you check out Retrovi, the lifeline for troubled marriages since 1977. It's 100% confidential, and a retreat is coming up June 2nd through 4th at the Best Western Hotel in Eagan. To find out more, you can go to helpourmarriage.org.
Okay, well then, let's talk about the 18th annual Northeast, or would that be Northeast?
There you go.
Eucharistic procession. It's coming up Sunday, June 11th. Come and join us as we take Jesus to the streets and venerate his Eucharistic presence. Starts at Holy Cross Northeast, Minneapolis, beginning at 3 and running till 5 p.m. The procession between the Catholic churches of Northeast will begin at Holy Cross, conclude at All Saints Parish with a benediction. A reception will follow at St. Maron Catholic Church.
Mm. Yeah, and you know what? We're going to talk with some representatives from that procession next week on the show, so be sure and tune in for that, too.
Very
get
cool.
Get fired up for the Feast of Corpus Christi and taking Jesus to the streets. I love it. I love it. We got other events coming up, too. We've got the Rural Life Sunday Mass coming up later in June. So
is that
don't
what they call the Moo Mass?
The Moo Mass. You got it, Paul. That's right. Don't miss the Moo Mass. You know, I have to admit, even living in a rural environment, I have not been to a Moo Mass yet. I may have to check it out. I probably should.
Yes.
I hear it's just a blast. The people have a lot of fun. And, of course, they are worshiping the Lord because it is Mass. It's Holy Mass.
That's right.
There's a day of service coming up in North Minneapolis. If you'd rather spend your time in the city, then how about helping out in North Minneapolis? It's the same day, Sunday, June 25th, that's coming up. And you can find out more about that and all the upcoming events.
And there are lots of them, just bunches of oodles and boodles of them.
It's pretty amazing, actually, to look at the events calendar. Our church does not take time off during the summer.
That's
so
true.
There's lots of, and so if you've got some extra time, why not check out archspm.org/events and see how you might fire your faith up this summer. Okay, that was
good idea. It's okay.
Well, in addition to talking about this great big Eucharistic procession that's coming up next time on Practicing Catholic, Archbishop Hebda is going to stop by for his monthly visit to talk about the Synod Evangelization Teams at your parish, so check that out. And also Father Michael Van Sloan is describing how we can best support the engaged couples in our lives as we're getting into wedding season here as well. That's all coming up next time on the show. Thank you so much for joining us this time. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.